happy holidays to you. Happy holidays to everyone out there listening to the special edition, our December Winter Fun Drive edition of The Checkout. And we have an incredible band in our studio right now, live, that we're about to share with you. It's been a decade since Aaron Parks, the pianist and composer, released his album Invisible Cinema on Blue Note Records, an exploration into hybrid forms of jazz and rock music. And now the 35-year-old pianist has kept busy since that time, playing with Terrence Blanchard, Billy Hart, Joshua Redman, just so many amazing artists. And now he's back exploring this synthesis of jazz and rock music with a new band, a new project that he's bringing to LPR on December 19th. And he's going to be debuting that music right now in our studio. Please welcome Aaron Parks and Little Big.
Thank you.
Marin Parks, Little Big, here in our WBGO studio on this special fundraising live edition of The Checkout. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Simon. It's great to be here at WBGO.
We have Greg Tuohy here on electric guitar, David Ginyard on electric bass, and Tommy Crane on drums, Aaron Parks, the leader, and on all kinds of keys. Little Big is your band.
You got it.
And where'd you get this name, Little Big? It's from a book, right?
It's from a book, yeah, by one of my favorite authors, a guy named John Crowley. It's a sort of fantastical universe that sort of exists, you know, alongside our own in one kind of way, you could think of it. I've had this name for a while, but I recently learned that it's one of Wayne Shorter's favorite books as well. And Esperanza as well has read it, so you know it's like maybe 30 years old, but it has a cult following, it seems. So.
And do you feel like this music could essentially score the story to that book?
I'm not sure about that. I just think that it more than that, it's just the idea of sort of creating another world that you can hopefully just fall into if you surrender into it. That's sort of what we're going for a bit.
Now, Aaron Parks, you grew up in Seattle, Washington, mm-hmm. and we all know you here in New York City as this formidable talent on piano. Like I said before, playing with Joshua Redman, Terrence Blanchard, so many artists, Kurt Rosenwinkel. But was it growing up in Seattle in the age of grunge that got you into rock music?
It's a funny thing because I actually didn't listen to that at all when I was growing up in Seattle. I grew up on... an island called Woodby Island, about an hour north of the city. And I grew up with classical music and folk music playing in the house and stuff like that. I was pretty sort of isolated from that whole thing. I was actually only when I started meeting folks from other places in the country that I started discovering that music. I was really most from like the ages of 15... to 18, I was pretty much just straight ahead jazz and classical music. I used to play the bassoon, so I was really into
that's like, right. Yeah. The bassoon, just another easy instrument to pick up.
Oh man,
right?
that was a rough one. Yeah, it's a beautiful instrument, but having to spend half of my time making reeds, and then the piano's just sitting there waiting to be played. So that's one of the reasons why this one won out. But, yeah.
Well, we wanted to bring these marvelous sounds here to WBGO today because we're here essentially celebrating the virtues of public radio and public media, specifically jazz public radio. And I just wanted to talk to you about that a little bit, Aaron. Like, why do you think places like WBGO need to persist?
Oh, man, it's such a, like, it's a really valuable tool for listeners to both stay connected to the past, the rich history of this music, hearing, you know, all sorts of stuff. One thing that comes to mind, I remember being in a cab ride, more than one cab ride, where I've had WBGO is playing. So I've gotten into a discussion with a cab driver about the virtues of Ahmad Jamal, and then that led to Red Garland and a discussion about Red Garland versus Herbie Hancock in the different Miles Davis bands. So the history of this music and also all of the sounds that are happening now, and you guys have been really fantastic for supporting both and not putting them at odds with each other, but like having it feel like it's part of one unbroken tapestry, which is what this music is.
We'll be back with Aaron Parks in our studio in just a moment.
Thank you.
Aaron Parks and Little Big joins us in studio. In terms of WBGO, or specifically the checkout, you probably don't listen to the show. Maybe you do. I have no idea. But do you listen to the show as a podcast or as a radio show? How do you like to enjoy this media?
I listen to it, well, I as a podcast. I'm a podcast junkie in general. And so I the podcast is the way to go. I listen to WBGO along with my other stable of things that I'm catching up on. Actually, I only recently started listening to the podcast, and I've got to say that compared to all of the other more newsy kind of podcasts that I find myself drawn to, this one actually makes me feel good.
That's really cool.
You know, I actually feel good. I'm like listening to creative people doing and talking about creative things and not about all the way that the world is messed up.
Well, that's cool. Well, if you listen to The Checkout as a podcast, which you can subscribe to on Stitcher or iTunes or Apple Music, I should say, all of this that goes into making this program by bringing in formidable talents like Aaron Parks, or the mixing of the shows, the editing, and the compiling of the content, all of that takes a lot of time and effort. And obviously, we don't bring you commercials either. We're still keeping within the ethos of public media, making it commercial free and serving it to you in the most enjoyable fashion. But I will also say it is times like this, like right now, where we're asking you to come through and show your support for shows like this. We couldn't bring you Aaron Parks and Little Big without your support. So you can do so right now by giving us a call and speaking to our lovely volunteers that are standing by at 1-800-499-9246. I'll say it again, 1-800-499-9246. But if you listen to the show already as a podcast, you're already digital, you want to make it quick and easy, go and make a contribution and support the show by going to WBGO.org. And then you can also peruse our fancy WBGO swag items. I personally like the socks, the WBGO socks you can take home as a thank you gift for us to say thank you for supporting us in making programs and shining some light on Aaron Parks.
Oh man, do what Simon says. Contribute. Call 1-800-499-9246 or go online to WBGO.org.
Here in our WBGO studio on this special fundraising edition of The Checkout. Thank you guys once again for being here. This is so fabulous.
Man, thank you, Simon.
This music is just so gorgeous. And I can tell, have you been working on these songs for 10 years?
Some of them. Some of them have been around for a long time. A number of them came together quite a bit more recently. And a few even just in the studio as we, when we recorded the record. We just had little sketches that then came into fruition much later on.
And what was that tune we just heard?
That one was one called Aquarium.
Aquarium, beautiful. Yeah. So Aaron Parks, we talked about your upbringing just briefly. I'd like to go back to that time period, when you caught the piano bug and music seemingly took over your life to such an extent that you ended up dropping out of high school by the age of 14 and enrolling in the University of Washington before going to the Manhattan School of Music and then studying with the amazing Kenny Barron. Did music steal you from your childhood, Aaron Parks?
That's a fair question. I think that, on the other hand, being a musician is like eternal childhood, and the other, it's always such a process of discovery, and we never stop learning, which is, I'm learning so much. I'm learning a lot right now about how to play and how not to play. I'm definitely learning how to be interviewed on the radio and what not to say. So
definitely don't talk about the bassoon anymore.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Just kidding.
Enough of that.
No, that's, we want more bassoon, I
more
think.
More bassoon.
You didn't bring your bassoon?
Yeah, no, I'm afraid not.
tell us some of the lessons that you have learned as a child, eternal child musician. I mean, you come into touch with so many of the masters of this music. I'm sure you're learning lessons all the time. Do you have any recent lessons that you can share with us?
Ooh, that's a good question. Every time I play with Billy Hart, which I have...
The drummer.
Master.
Who you made a recording with on ECM just a year ago.
Exactly. We made a record with him and Ben Street. And I learned so much about what it means to play something with real presence and intention. Billy can play something on the drums in a way where you maybe have heard it, the same information before, but there's such a authority that he plays it with, and so much understanding of the history, and so much of his own just sense of what music means. And so he can play a very simple phrase and it just goes right into your heart, and just it hits you in this other way. And I don't know exactly how to do that, but I definitely am learning that that's one of the things that I'm interested in.
Exploring the immediacy.
The immediacy and how to play something with real intention and with real meaning, so that you play one note which becomes somehow feels richer and feels more immediate and full of meaning in some kind of way, as opposed to a bunch of notes that fill up the space but maybe don't have that. I mean, I love notes, don't get me wrong, but it's that's one thing that I'm always working on. That's one thing that I really love about the guys in this band as well.
Briefly, Greg Tuohy on guitar, David Ginyard on electric bass, and Tommy Crane on the drums. I would like to say we bring a lot of meaning to... I know this place, WBGO and public radio, is extraordinarily meaningful to my life and enriching my life.
Yeah, man.
I would just pose the same question to you. Do you gain meaning from listening to WBGO or other public radio, for that matter?
Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely listened to a lot of public radio, especially growing up in Seattle. It's such a great discovery tool, just to find new things that you wouldn't have otherwise. And what this station in particular, WBGO, has been doing, sponsoring the live concerts, being involved in the concerts that have been going on at New Blue, with some great young bands, Justin Brown's Newsy, and...
There's the Big Yuki show we did.
You did, exactly. Big Yuki and Thiefs well. I think that it's just really cool connecting to some of the things that are happening right now, as well as holding the torch and keeping this music alive in all of its rich history.
If you go to our Facebook page, WBGO 88.3. I know you're following us, right? You're following us. You like WBGO. You follow everything we do. Well, if you go there right now, you can see some of the incredible swag that we are offering as a thank you gift for your contribution to this public radio station. I'm wearing one of these dope WBGO hats. I have this incredible sock that I'm holding. Obviously, they come in a pair, but you can see this incredible sock that I'm holding up, and this incredible fleece coat that is just lined in the middle and has our logo on the front. And you know, I think I'm gonna get this myself. But if you go to our Facebook page, you can look at some of this swag, and maybe I can convince Aaron to put it on too. Well, we'll see about that. But in the meantime, let's hear more from Aaron Parks, Little Big, in our WBGO performance studio. ¶¶ gorgeous music from Aaron Parks and Little Big in our WBGO performance studio. We are absolutely thrilled to have him here for this special winter fundraising edition of the Checkout and WBGO. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't gone to our Facebook page yet, you can go there right now and watch this incredible band in performance as well. Really, Aaron Parks, maybe the heart of this ensemble you've brought here today might be in, well, let's just say your guitarist, Greg Tui, and here with you with Little Big. No offense, guys, you know, but I know that Aaron Parks, you have played with so many guitarists over the years: Mike Moreno, Nir Felder, Gilad Hexelman, Kurt Rosenwinkel, and oftentimes when you think about the piano, another chordal instrument, you know, you don't often hear the piano with a guitar as featured so prominently.
Right.
So why do you keep coming back to the guitar?
I think it just I've wrestled with that same question myself. I think there's just something of the way that I hear melody that the guitar just feels like the closest thing that really makes it sing in the way that it does in my imagination. And all of these guys you mentioned are tremendous musicians, and I'm really lucky to have played with all of them and continue to in many cases. Greg just has a very... For me, one of the things that makes him perfect for this band is his tone. He has a very deep understanding of sound and a really particular sense of phrasing. And it feels, it's tied in to that thing that I was talking about with Billy, actually, just that idea of really playing what you mean and meaning
every
what you say.
Every note counts.
Yeah, and I feel that with Greg, and he also just knows how, we put in the time and figured out how to phrase the melodies in a way that makes it feel really natural and organic, even when sometimes the melodies on paper look very gnarlier than you might expect.
And would you say, this, coming back to this theme of playing every note, I'm sure you also gleaned that lesson from the NEA jazz master Kenny Barron, who plays every note with meticulous precision.
Oh, man, for sure.
But do you feel like, just in terms of jazz and you know, we've been through this evolution of this music until today, that we've in a weird kind of way we've lost track of that, the pyrotechnics and the technical facility and the virtuosity somehow has taken over from the intention of playing one note perfectly?
I mean, I don't even know if perfectly would be the word, because I hear what you're saying, and I think of that Paul Blay quote that, you know, practice makes perfect and imperfect is better. And
let's take perfect out of it.
Right.
the beauty is in the mistakes, as Charles Mingus once said.
Exactly. There's a lot in that, but I think don't get me wrong, I love notes, and I love flurries of notes when that's really the intention and when that's the thing that you're going for and you're creating that that's kind of momentum. I feel like it can be easy, especially with certain aspects of the education system right now can sort of train musicians to know how to dot all their I's and cross their T's and all the correct things to do and know how to play chord scale things proficiently over lots of chords. But even I think for musicians themselves, at times it can be easy to lose track of the why. Why are we playing all these correct notes over the correct chords? What is our reason for doing that beyond to show that we can? And I know that I've gone through my own, battles with that, because I'm a product of that education system as well. I don't know, man. I think that, I don't know if we've lost sight of it. I think that there's lots of people who are doing that who are also really focused on playing one note in a way that, or more than one note. It doesn't need to be one note, but just playing things with intention. And I'm all aboard for that.
Well, if every note counts, we hope every call counts because we are hoping to hear from you, our listeners. Aaron Parks, well, what do you think? Should we have a flurry of calls coming into our station?
Yeah, I think more is more in this case.
Thank you for supporting the checkout, if you have done so. And if you haven't, do so right now by going to our website at wbgo.org or calling 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. And definitely watch all of these marvelous players in our studio too. We have video up of the band playing Little Big in our studio. All of this for you and in celebration of jazz public media. What's the next song, the last song you're going to share with us today?
Yeah, this last song is, this is an old one. You know, you asked about how old some of the pieces are. And this...
Well, let's sidetrack a little bit. Aaron Parks, you strike me as the type of person, especially when reviewing your discography. I mean, you're only 35 years old, but just trying to absorb all of the music and that you've been a part of in your like short career already is just astonishing for lack of a better word. And so congratulations just in general for your prolific output.
Well, thanks. I'm still always looking for it, you know?
So you strike me as the type of person that you're always thinking about playing melodies with intent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a melody guy. I gotta just, you know, that's my thing. A melody and some harmony that surprises you, maybe even just slightly. Take something familiar, put it in a different context. I mean, there's a quote from Charles Mingus that I really love, and goes to what I'm sort of trying to do. He says, making the simple complicated is commonplace, but making the complicated simple, awesomely simple, that's creativity. And so what I have tons of ideas, but I'm always trying to pare them down to what's the essence and what are the most important things and how can we get that across. And this next song that we're going to play is a really old one of mine, which is so simple that I'm almost embarrassed by it because it's a major key melody, pretty much fully diatonic. But there's something about it that I haven't been able to quite run away from, and it's called Good Morning.
So I want to know, like, how did you make this Good Morning song? How did you complicate it?
There is a moment towards the end of the song where, after being mostly in a one chord vibe for a lot of the solo section, the bass line starts to descend in a way that you think you know that it is. There's a repeated piano figure and guitar doubled, and the bass line starts to descend for three chords. You're like, oh, I know this. But then the next three chords after that change in a way that sort of pulls the ground out from underneath you, and then it becomes for a song that until then it's been on pretty much just four bar structures, it shifts into three bar or a six bar phrase, which just has the feeling of creating some tension, building some energy towards a release that then comes really back even more simple than anything that came before, which just goes from like a one chord to basically a one sus chord, and it's just a straight up rock tune by the time we get to the end, and that's one of the things that I love about this band is that we can just rock out, you know, and that's one of the things that I love that, and it's which is maybe weird for a piano player, since my instrument disappears when things get very loud, especially live. You know, you just don't hear it. But that's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make if we can rock.
We love rocking it here on The Checkout from WBGO.
Thank you.
Aaron Parks, Little Big here in our studio, Greg Tuohy here on electric guitar, Tommy Crane on drums, David Ginyard on electric bass. We thank them so much for being here, sharing this music with you, celebrating a brand new recording on Rope-A-Dope, Little Big, and also doing so at Le Poisson Rouge LPR on December 19th. That's a Wednesday at 8 p.m. So the theme of this winter fun drive is feeling good. Yeah. And I have to say, like, this record makes me feel so good.
Oh, man.
I think actually Nate Shannon and I, in our previous Checkout podcast we released maybe a couple weeks ago, we actually highlighted this recording as one of our favorite of 2018 just for that reason, because it makes us feel so good. And truly, like, throughout the album, every melody speaks to your heart. So I ask you, I pose this question to Aaron Parks. what are your all-time favorite jazz artists that make you feel good?
Ooh, that's a very good one. Ahmad Jamal is way up there. Bill Frisell.
And feel free to, like, mention songs that really, like, hit you hard.
Oh, sure, man. I mean,
like Poinciana, are we talking about?
I mean, I'm talking about But Not For Me. I'm just talking about, like, Live at the Pershing. That whole record, I put that on, and the mood, or any of that trio, I mean, Poinciana from that record, but Not For Me is the jam. And Bill Frisell, his song Throughout.
Where can you find that recording?
That's on In Line. It's on a few different recordings of his, and that's a haunting song that somehow, by giving into melancholy, it comes out somehow giving you an optimistic feeling.
They call that saudade in Brazil, right?
There you go. That's it. That's exactly it.
You kind of tap into that a little bit in your music.
Is
that a conscious thing?
I not until now, but I mean, I definitely am interested in those melodies that have that feeling of just like a yearning and a reaching for something that is maybe always unattainable.
Toots Thielemans called this similar feeling halfway between a smile and a tear.
Mm, yep, that's it. That's it, and that's a great way of putting it.
One of your favorite vocalists and pianists of all time, Shirley Horn.
Oh, come on. Shirley is, I mean, so you put on a record like, there's so many of hers, Lazy Afternoon.
It's a lazy afternoon.
Another thing with Billy, actually, is Benny Maupin's record, The Jewel and the Lotus. That whole record, I put that on, and it's an instant...
transportation.
That's the word that I'm looking for, that you gave to me.
Well, we want to know where you want to get transported to. If you're watching this on our Facebook page, at the Checkout from WBGO, or on WBGO's Facebook page, tell us what music makes you feel good.
Thank you.
here with Aaron Parks and Little Big. Getting to know you today has been a joy for me because it reminds me of my own Northwestern roots. I think I joked with you backstage that I see it. I see the Portlandia vibe from you, especially when you brought the bassoon into the equation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty absurd.
Now, I feel also just representing the Northwest, there are a lot of people, I think, on this globe would say the Northwest in all of its eccentricities is at least trying to create a kind of utopia, a kind, putting an emphasis on healthy living and creativity and being human,
right,
ultimately. And that's what we do here on at public radio, right? What we're trying to build here.
And that's it. There you go. I mean, that ethos, I don't know that it originates there exactly, but it definitely has taken root in that community and where I live in Brooklyn as well. There's a lot of that kind of attitude.
A shout out to KMHD in Portland, Oregon, actually, that airs the Checkout program. And one of the hippest jazz public radio stations in this country as well.
Oh, man, that's great. Right on. What's up, Oregon?
So on that note, I know the community surrounding Portland, supporting stations like KMHD, I know they get their support. I know people come out and give their financial support to show their appreciation for the content they bring to you on a daily basis. I know there are incredible public radio stations in Seattle, in the Northwest, mm-hmm, that are absolutely vibrant to the community and are funded by its listeners. And we hope you can do the same right here on the East Coast for the Checkout at WBGO by giving us a call right now at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. Support the Checkout as a podcast, as a radio show. You're not just supporting this organization, but you're supporting artists like Aaron Parks. Go and make a contribution and support the show by going to WBGO.org.
Thanks so much for having us, man. And do what the man says.